Good morning. Welcome to Family Life. Hey, Lynn, we began life groups this past week. We just had week one. How it's working is the life groups are talking about what we're talking about on Sunday morning. Last Sunday, we talked about love is greater than anger, all right, and hate. And so if you deal with that or know somebody that does, we talked about that even in more depth during the life group this past week. Today, we're talking about love is greater than, it's a big one, betrayal and rejection. And what I don't get to in my own notes will be taught in life groups this week. So make sure you sign up, get in a group. That's an 8-week term of life groups this time. And so it's going to be really great. We grow better in circles than we do in rows. It's community. It's a biblically functioning group of people. It's fantastic. We're in one. We're actually leading one. And so there's sign-up sheets out in the lobby. Find one that works for you. You can still get in. We got 7 weeks to go. It's going to be great. And it goes right along with the teaching series. You should have got a little card. Can I borrow yours for a second? Do you have one there, Sharon? Well, there's a little card there anyway that says love is greater than. And it has all of the there you go, the shield. Just hold that up. It looks just like that right there. It's got the entire schedule of teachings on. You can see what's coming up. Love is greater than. Love is greater than. Like next week, our past mistakes and failures. And so if you know somebody who deals with these things, or maybe you do, you know what's going to be taught on that upcoming Sunday, and invite them to come with you and trust God to minister to their hearts and get them through this. There is hope and there is healing for all these things. It's right where we live, right? So let's go ahead and stand. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to dismiss the kids here. Oh, there they go. All right. Let's dismiss the kids right now. All right. And we'll dismiss the middle high and senior high kids in a second with Mr. Jonathan. And then we're going to get in the Word of God and have some time in the Word today. Lord, thank you today for your goodness. Love is greater than all. The greatest of all these things is love. And one place the Bible says God is love. And so, Lord, thank you. Love is greater than all. And there's hope for all these things that try to hold us back. And so today, may the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into your word, into all truth. We have eyes that are open to behold wonderful things, ears that are hearing, ears to hear from heaven. And Lord, I pray you help me to communicate your word in such a manner that we can hear it and then just go do it, just go live it. And that's where answers come. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Hey, shake somebody's hand one more time. Tell them, pay attention today. You're going to learn something today, all right? And then you can be seated. Good to have you with us this morning. If today's your first time, welcome to Family Life. Welcome to the family. We've got a gift for you out there in the lobby and want you to make sure you feel welcome and love. And hey, why we're here is an important thing. People ask, what kind of church is Family Life? And when they ask that, they're like, you know, are you like, well, you know, what kind of a church? Are you Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, or like that? I think that's the wrong question. I think the question ought to be, why do you exist as a church? What are you trying to accomplish as a church? I think that's a better question. Why are you here? Why should I go? What can I expect? Now, there's a good question right there. So we know what we're here for. What we're about here is growth. What we're about is leading people who are away from God into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not religion, living relationship with him. So we want to reach people who don't have that or maybe who have and have gone away, and we want to bring them into a living relationship with Jesus. And there's an and. And then once we're there, we got to grow. And we never, ever, ever stop growing. We want to grow believers into full maturity in Christ. In fact, 2018 is our year of fruitfulness. And so that's what you can expect every time you come here. And today is a day just for that. Let's get growing today. We're talking about love. Today, love is greater than betrayal and rejection. If I was to ask for a show of hands here, how many here have ever been betrayed? We would all raise our hands, right? And some of us are right now in the midst of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was betrayed. We're going to see about that here in a minute. But what can we do to get past the pain? What can we do to ever trust again? What can we do to have our life back again? It's all here in the Word of God. Love is the answer. So what do we say when we mean love? Well, the Bible tells us exactly what we're talking about with the God kind of love. Now, we use love all kinds of ways. We, you know, we're Americans, and then the English language is kind of a limited. You know, I love my wife, and man, I love Moose Tracks ice cream, right? Well, you didn't mean the same thing, though, right? you know, or I love my kids, but I love the Dodgers, let me tell you what, you know, or whatever. Well, we don't mean the same thing here, right? And so we use this word love all kinds of ways, but God tells us exactly, and we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we see what God's idea of love is, and this is what he's talking about right here, and love is greater than all. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, this is from the New Living Translation, it's on the screen. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but if I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, making a lot of noise but nothing happening. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans, if I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but if I didn't love others, I'd be nothing. And we think that's a big deal to have faith like that and to know all these things. But if I don't love, see, the why is more important than the what. God always sees the motive behind what we do. And if I didn't love others, it wouldn't be anything. Next verse, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, if I was martyred, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And guys, that's a big deal. But he said, but if love's not behind it, if I don't have the love of God, it really amounts to nothing. I wouldn't have gained anything. Then he says this, here's what it looks like. Love is patient and kind. And right there, we already got some of us, right? Oh man, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Wow, got me on that one. How about you? Love, it does not demand its own way. That's a big one. It is not irritable. Know anybody who's irritable? You're sitting by them. Don't even look at them right now, okay? But love's not irritable. And then it says this, love, it keeps no record of being wronged. Yet you and I know people, they can recite like they're getting paid for it, all the wrongs that people have done to them over the years. I think people say, well, you know, this person did me this way, did me that way. Well, I thought it must have happened last week, the way they were telling it. When was that? Oh, 6 years ago, right? But love doesn't do that. Love keeps no record of being wrong. Remember, forgiveness is about letting go. Forgiveness is about release. Forgiveness is about, I release that and I let that go. I've been forgiven of so much more. Next verse, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless in heaven. We won't need that, but we need them now. But love will last forever. And then drop down to verse number 13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And therefore, our entire teaching series is called Love is Greater Than. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then in the book of John, chapter number 13, we see that Jesus gives us this new commandment to walk in this kind of love. John 13, verse number 34, the words of Jesus, 34 and 35, still from the New Living Translation. He said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Now, this is a commandment, not a suggestion. And to commandments, there are no exceptions. Well, I know Jesus commanded me this, but you know, you don't know what no exceptions. Well, I know Jesus commands this, but you know, I don't really feel like it. There's no exceptions. This is a commandment. Here's the thing about commandments. Either we obey them or we don't. Let's just quit messing around. Either we choose to obey or we choose not to. It is as simple as that. Are we all right out there? I don't have time to, you know, be silly here and all that. Either we do it or we don't. The great thing about God's word is right there. Either you live it or you don't. But we raised our four sons. You saw three of them up there playing guitars up there. And they got all their musical ability from their mother. Okay. And so anyway, we raised our sons saying, listen, if we obey, we get blessings. If we disobey, we lose blessings. You know that never changes. So if we choose to obey what Jesus said in his great commandment, we're going to walk in the blessing of God and see God's favor and see God's presence and see things happen in our life that doesn't happen to other people because we're obeying God. Now, if we choose to disobey, we're going to suffer the consequences. It's just the way that it is. And so why don't we just choose to obey this? And then remember, God never commands us to do anything He hasn't already equipped us to do. It's not an issue of can I, it's an issue of will I. So instead of saying, I can't love like that, just be honest, I choose not to love like that. Now that I understand. But if you're a believer, you can. We're going to see it here in a minute. God's already filled you with His love. It's not an issue of can I, it's an issue of will I. Now I understand, I don't feel like it, right, but that's a will you thing. I don't want to, I understand, that's a will you thing also. But don't tell me you can't, because God says you can. God never commands us to do anything He hasn't already equipped us to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are we all right out there? Are we good? All right, let's go to what He says here again. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Now when He was, we always know commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. But then when He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you should love your neighbor as yourself, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, right? The commandments, the greatest commandments are commandments that are thou shalt. He says here, I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Guys, that's a commandment. We shouldn't have to be commanded to do this, but He does command us to do this, right? And it's a commandment, not, I'm giving you a new idea. It's a commandment. You know, I have this, you might consider this. It's not a consideration, it's a commandment. Well, you know, this is kind of this is a commandment. We either obey it or we don't. Can you say amen or oh me or oh my or what? Why am I here? What? Say something, okay? All right. We want to grow, don't we? And this is the way to grow. You'd be amazed what God can do in you when you choose to obey Him. You'll be amazed how God shows up in your life when you choose to do it His way. Amen. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He didn't say miracles would do it, though miracles, we need them. But there are people who are always skeptics. He didn't say other, you know, spiritual gifts and power of God and things like that. I mean, every sunrise should prove to the world about God, right? But that doesn't do it. But you know what? When we really love and we really forgive and we really love the way He loves, we really love unconditionally. Because see, this kind of love is unconditional. This kind of love says, I love you. Whether you love me in return or not, I still love you. This love says, I love you, and you can't do a thing about it. This love says, I love you, not based on you, based on me. It's in me. This love says, whether or not you're ever kind to me, I still love you. It's unconditional. That's how He loves us. It's this kind of love. No wonder it's a sign to the world, right? And so He says, by this, because you might be able to fake something for a little bit, then something happens, all of a sudden your true colors come out. But on this, when you really walk in love and people see you walking in love and you really walk in forgiveness and you really are a person of prayer and you really are Christ-like because God is love, they're like, wow, I don't know what it is. There's something different about that guy right there or that lady right there, right? He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Amen. It's a commandment. Now, this is a commandment, not a suggestion. There are no exceptions to a commandment. And then in the New King James Version, Romans chapter number 5, verse number 5. This is what I'm going to say next. If you don't get this, if I can't teach this to you right now, right, everything else is moot. We must understand that God has already put His love in our hearts. Because you can be like, okay, I get that. I want to obey that commandment. I want to be patient and kind and not take account of wrongs. So I'm praying, God, give me that love. And as soon as He does, I will do it. But He hasn't yet. That's why I'm not. That gets us all messed up right there. But when we understand that the moment we said yes to Jesus, and when He came into our hearts, He came with everything He is, all of His love, His power, His goodness, is all inside of us right now. And He has already, we're going to see from Romans 5 in a second here, He has already filled us with His love. So our prayer needs to shift from God, please give me your love, to God, I choose to love. I choose to walk in love. God, you poured it in, I'm going to pour it out. Look at this, Romans 5, verse 5, from the New King James Version. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That whole verse in the past tense. It's already been done. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was, that happened at the moment of salvation, by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hello, vessels of His love. Hello, love containers. You are full of it right now. Next time someone says, you're full of it, say, that's right. I'm full of His love. And you need some. And it's a good thing I'm full of His love right now, right? So our prayer can change from God, give me. See, what happens is we don't know that God's already given it to us. Then we're blaming God for our lack of obedience. That's never going to work. Well, if God would fill me with His love, I would obey Him. But since He hasn't, it's His fault I haven't. That's not going to work. No, God has already filled us with His love, and our prayer can change then from God, give me more because you already have all of it, to God, I will love. I choose to walk in love. And now that is a big decision. Amen. Again, there are three things we must know about God's love. Get these and you're on your way. Number one, God's already poured His love into my heart. It's already done. God has already poured His love into my heart. Number two, love is a decision. I choose to walk in love. I love you whether you love me or not. I love you. Get used to it. I love you. You can't change it. It's my decision. It's not based on your response or lack of a response or even evil response. I still love you. So number one, God's already poured it into my heart. Number two, love is a decision. And number three, love is more than a feeling. It's more. Well, if I feel it, is it? If I go by feelings, I'm going to be three things. And here's something else that's going to be on the screen. Listen, if I'm led by my feelings, I will be inconsistent. When I feel good, I am good. When I feel bad, I'm bad. I'm going to be inconsistent. That's never going to work. If I'm led by my feelings, I will be selfish. I'm waiting upon the world to make me feel good. That's selfishness. It's not my job to make you feel good. It's your job. It's your job to walk in love. It's your job to obey regardless of how you feel. That's what we do, right? Nobody says, I don't feel like going to work on Monday. I don't feel like fighting that traffic. I don't feel like those rude drivers. I don't feel like being in my car. I'm going to just stay home. Really? I'll bet you most of you tomorrow morning, whether you feel like it or not, and many of you won't feel like it, will go to work. Right? It's just so. If we can have that kind of discipline for a job that amounts to nothing in eternity, from an eternal standpoint, how much more for kingdom? Yes. Just a thought, threw it in. So if I'm led by feelings, I'm going to be selfish. And then here's probably the worst one. If I'm led by feelings, I will not grow. If I feel good, I'll obey. If I don't feel good, I won't obey. Well, you're never going to grow that way. And this is a growth time. In fact, these 8 weeks are a time of intensive growth right now. This is a real growth season for family life right now. So love is, God's already poured in my heart. It's a decision, and it's more than a feeling. All right, let's talk about this. Love is greater than betrayal. I don't know that anybody has ever experienced betrayal to the level of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, beginning in verse number 36. Now, we're going to read kind of a chunk of scripture here. It'll be on the screen, probably a little bit more than we normally would read right now on a Sunday. But I want to get this in and then show you five things that Jesus did to overcome betrayal and five things that you can do. I've thought about this. I've prayed about this, thought about my own life, people who I know who overcome betrayal. It always keeps coming back to these five things, and they're going to be on the screen here in a minute. Five things that we can do. And right now, if you're in the... See, Jesus was betrayed, and it led to His arrest. It led to His beating. It led to His crucifixion, right? But that's not the end of the story. And right now, you might have been betrayed, and right now, you're taking a beating. But what you do right now depends on whether you keep taking a beating for years or whether you move on beyond that to resurrection. Are you listening to me now? This is crucial right here. Let's see what the Bible says. Matthew 26, verse number 36. Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. I'm in the NIV. Sit here while I go over there and pray. So He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now, He knows what's coming. He knows he's about to be betrayed, arrested, beaten, the whole thing. This is the day before, the night before. It's all going to go down just hours from here, even less than that. He knows what's coming. And guys, betrayal can cause our hearts to be extremely sorrowful, heart-rending, heart-tearing, gut-wrenching, right? He's already there. Then he said to them in verse number 38, my soul is overwhelmed, and betrayal can be absolutely overwhelming. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. See, to betray, and I look up in the dictionary, means this. To betray means to deliver to an enemy by treachery. It's about to happen here in just a minute with Jesus. To betray means to reveal something that was shared in confidence. I can't believe I shared that with him in confidence. They're telling her, that's betrayal. And that is extremely painful, right? And to betray also means, and there's more, I'm just going to give you three. There's more definition, but you get the picture. To betray means to forsake someone, to desert someone, especially in their time of need. I can't believe they could do that to me. I trusted in them. They promised, right? And it's painful, heart-wrenching, horrific. And some of us right now are there. Some of us have been through this. Jesus is here. Let's see what he did. So he says, my soul's overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Man, you feel that way in betrayal. And he says, please stay with me. I just want somebody with me. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, verse 39, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. And then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he says, couldn't you keep watch with me just for 1 hour? He asked Peter. And then he said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time and he prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And when he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. And so he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is delivered or betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And while he was still speaking, Judas, ever heard of him? Now, we get the wrong idea about Judas. We look at these classical pictures of the Last Supper, and there's Jesus with his disciples, and you can tell there's Judas. He looks like a villain, villainous looking, right? Or we see these movies about the life of Jesus, and there's Judas. He looks like a criminal, right? But nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, we didn't, for time's sake, we didn't even read it, but at the Last Supper, Jesus tells them all, hey, guys, I'm telling you right now, one of you will betray me. And I'm like, really, who? They weren't like, oh yeah, him. We knew it. We knew it the whole time. They didn't do that. They had no idea who it was going to be. They're like, is it? They're all, a whole table went around. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? They had no clue, no inclination that Judas could not be trusted. In fact, the Bible says he was the treasurer. If you have a business, would you trust some villainous criminal person with your money? Right? In fact, the Bible even says when Judas went out with the money bag to pay and to do the betrayal, they all thought, oh, he's going to give some money to the poor. So they had no reason to suspect him. He was just as trusted. What's my point? People who are closest to us and that we really trust hurt us the most or can hurt us the most. Right? This is betrayal here. And so he says, hey, my betrayer's coming. And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer, the Bible calls him this now, the betrayer had arranged Now get this. He arranges a signal with them. The one eye kiss. You heard the phrase a Judas kiss from the Bible. He could have said, hey, the one I point at, the one who's wearing, you know, certain clothes, the one I kind of go, you know, him. It was a kiss. People who are closest to us can hurt us the most. What do we do about that? I'll talk about that in a minute here. The one I kiss, that was his signal. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And then Jesus replies, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out for his sword, drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest. He cut off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Then he says this, do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Wow. And in that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple. I sat in the temple courts teaching. You didn't arrest me. But this is all taking place that the writings of the prophets, the scriptures, might be fulfilled. Then we miss this part. All the disciples deserted him and fled. Well, we just read a definition that betrayal is deserting in time of need. By that definition, all 12 betrayed him. Just a thought. Because they booked out of there when this went down. You follow me? Later on, Peter denies him not once, not twice, three times after this, right? So they all fled. But Jesus did great five things here. The betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this. This event here leads to a whole bunch of events happening here now. They all begin to unfold in rapid succession. It led to his arrest. It led to his beating and to his crucifixion. But that was not the end of the story. And maybe right now you're taking a beating. Maybe right now you feel like they're crucifying me. But that's not the end of the story if you do what he did. It led to his arrest, his scourging, his whipping, his beating, his crucifixion. But that led to his resurrection. And that led to his ascension. And that led to our redemption. And that led to the church's creation. And that led to the world being saved, the church's, the world's evangelization. And listen, maybe right now you're taking a beating, but resurrection is on the way. You're just days away from it. What do we learn from the story? What did he do? Jesus made five unshakable commitments that if we will make, will come through also, and we will experience resurrection and ascension and new creation and so forth there. Amen. He made five unshakable commitments. We see him right here. Number one, he committed himself to prayer. Prayer is where we receive our strength. Prayer keeps us connected to God. Prayer is where we hear from heaven. Prayer is nourishment to our soul. I was thinking about this, and everybody I know, I thought about times in my life where I've really felt hurt and betrayed by people that I trusted. The answer has always been diving in to God. Does that make sense to say it that way? I can't think of a better way to say it. I've seen people dive into God, or I've seen them dive into destruction. They might turn to things that are just a quick, temporary feel-good. Drugs, alcohol, immorality, some other self-destructive thing, and they just derail. They just go right off the rails. I've seen people dive into God, and they just get in there, and the first step, I'm going to give you five. And you know how some recipes you can kind of tweak here and there, but there are main core things you have to have? That's what this is. These five things you have to have. Number one, commitment to prayer. Number two, Jesus, we see it right here. We saw him praying. He was praying. He went and prayed once. He went and prayed twice. He went and prayed three times. He said, guys, come pray with me. He committed himself to prayer. Number two, he committed himself to the word. You have to have both. You cannot skip one of these. You have to have both. Prayer is food for our spirit. God talks to us primarily through his word. He talks to us in prayer. He talks to us in his word. But what we think he's saying to us in prayer, we check it out with the word. We prove it with the word. The word is a lamp unto our feet. The word is a light unto our path. He leads us through the word of God. We have to have both. We have to have prayer. And we saw time and again that the scripture might be fulfilled. He goes, hey, I could stop right now, call down 12 legions of angels. We see in the Old Testament, boy, one angel wiped out hundreds of thousands of enemies. What could 12 legions do? I mean, wipe out the whole planet. Because I'm not going to do that. He goes, I could, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The Bible has to be fulfilled. He had submitted himself to God's word. That's huge. That is huge. So be committed to prayer, talking to God. Be committed to his word, God talking to you. When you go to read the word of God, just stop and say, Lord, show me your word. And just think, I'm going to feed my heart right now. God's going to talk to me right now. Don't think, okay, I'm kind of putting in my time, knocking out a chapter or two. No. I'm going to spend time, I'm going to feed my faith and starve my doubts. I'm going to feed my heart with the living word of God. So committed to prayer, committed to the word. Number three. Now, this next one is kind of the hinge. If we don't do this, none of us is going to matter. He committed himself to obedience. He said twice, not my will, your will be done. He's like, man, I could. Think about this. What a temptation it must have been. I can call angels right now and just be swept out of here. But I'm not. I'm going to obey. I'm going to finish this. What God has called me to do. And guys, we're going to talk about this next Sunday. One of the keys to overcoming our past failures is being committed to our future mission. We have to know, and God shows us what it is. So that way, instead of looking back all the time, now we're looking forward to what God has for us. That's what he's doing. Okay, not my will, your will be done. Amen. He committed himself to obedience. Guys, we could have the recipe, mix the ingredients. If we don't put it in the oven, we got no cake. Right? We can hear the word. We can pray. We can say, oh, God said this. Oh, I believe it. God said this. Isn't that wonderful? God said this. Oh, I know that. But if we don't do it, so what? That's what Paul was saying. I'm nothing if I don't do this. So obedience. So prayer, the word, obedience. Number four, he committed himself to fellowship. Guys, this is huge because oftentimes when we feel betrayed, we want to withdraw. Don't be around anybody. Oh, yeah, I used to go to church. And, you know, that happened over there. Hey, Jesus kept saying, guys, be with me. Wake up. Stay with. This is the Lord Jesus Christ desiring community. We don't grow without community. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't really think you got to go to church. I just read the Bible and just do what it says. If you did, you'd go to church. Because that's what it says. So again, that's why we have life groups. We grow in community, a biblically functioning community, fellowship. And the first thing he did was choose 12 disciples. Paul always traveled with a group around him at all. He sent them out two by two when Jesus sent them out. So fellowship. Prayer, the word, obedience, fellowship, and then number five is huge. We can miss this one. He committed himself to service. Now, Matthew doesn't record, one of the other gospels records that when the servant's ear was chopped off, Jesus stopped in the midst of the betrayal, reached his hand, touched his ear, and he healed him. That is service. Instead of saying, serves him right. He had that coming. Chop off his other ear. You know, he didn't do that. In the midst of it. In the midst of betrayal. He stopped. He touches his ear. And he heals him. That is so amazing to me. Are you listening to me now? I don't think he felt like it right then. How about you? Just a thought, all right? A Christian who doesn't serve is a contradiction in terms. God's called us all to serve. And I'll hear people say, well, Pastor, people will come to Family Life. You know, at my last church, this happened, I was hurt. I'll say, well, you know, okay, so then come here, grow, hear the word, heal. But that doesn't mean until Jesus comes again. There's a point where we've got to begin to serve again. Because serving in itself is healing. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to be served. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give my life away. Now that is Christ-likeness. You'd be amazed what God will do in you as you serve. You'd be amazed how selfishness evaporates. When I'm on the schedule at 9:30 on this Sunday and I feel like laying in bed, and I'm going to be there early because that's who I am. That was a lot. Nobody even said amen at that, right? I've been doing this for years. You'd be amazed, amen, how you will grow when you choose to serve and just follow him. We've all been called to serve, amen. Now, all this is so important. Now, remember this. Forgiveness happens in a moment. Let me talk to, now, I said earlier we could have all raised our hand, I've been betrayed. But some of us have been the betrayer. We won't ask for a show of hands on that one, okay? Understand this, if you've been the betrayer, repent and ask for forgiveness. But just understand, it seems to me in my experience, and I've, you know, had a lot of experience at this, all right, that people I've tried to help, oftentimes the betrayers don't understand the difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness and restoration. Forgiveness can happen in a moment. I forgive you, but I don't trust you yet. So understand the difference. So forgiveness happens in a moment, but trust is built over time. The way to build the trust is the day by day by day consistency. So build it. Rebuild it. Amen? If you're the betrayer, know the difference. I think many times most people who betray, they don't realize the pain that they're causing. They don't realize the damage. That's been my experience anyway. I sort of think, how do they not see this? I think some people just don't, or I think they choose to overlook it, or I think maybe they compartmentalize it, or to somehow maybe ease their own heart, maybe like that. That's why I think it's important to repent and to forgive if you're the one who's... But remember this, you can't undo what's been done. Remember Judas tried after this to go pay the money back and couldn't do it. He couldn't unscramble the egg. So what you do then is you forgive, you ask for forgiveness, you live for Christ, and you move right on. That's the recipe. That is what we do if we've been the betrayer. I think people betray for selfish reasons. I don't think anybody ever betrayed and said, well, it wasn't for me I did this. Yeah, it was. I think people betray because they are led by their feelings, or I need this, or payback, or something like that. I think those are all reasons that people betray. But again, we need to repent. If that's been us, repent and ask for forgiveness. Amen. And again, as believers, we're commanded to forgive as we've been forgiven. So remember, forgiveness is right now, but trust can take time to be rebuilt, but it can be rebuilt. So you might be right now I'm in the beating stage. You got to keep trusting God. Be committed to prayer. Be committed to his word. Be committed to obeying him. Be committed to fellowship. Be committed to service and move on from your beating and crucifixion to your resurrection, to your ascension, to your new creation. Amen? And God will do it in your life. Now, here's the thing. Nobody can make these commitments for us. We must make them for ourselves. And if we want to overcome the pain and the loss, oh, it's heart-wrenching, of betrayal and rejection, then we must put our trust in him first. Put our trust in him and him first. Amen. My good friend, he's been here a couple of times, 3 or 4 times, I think, Pastor Rob Spina. You know his story. You've heard him tell a story. He's got books out now. In fact, this has now gone viral around the world. He's already been around the world now telling a story, how he was betrayed. I sat there when I first began talking with him a few years ago and getting to know him all over again. I remember many years ago about hearing about when it happened, but I'm sitting here in a restaurant listening to him tell me the story of how he's got 3 little boys and how his wife cheated on him. not with his best friend, with his pastor. Now, that is royally screwed up, guys. Need I say more? Someone that you trust, you're close to, and he was an employee at the church. Oh my gosh. He was on staff as a youth pastor, my friend was. Finds out they're cheating. They leave. She leaves them. They move across the country. Leaves him with the kids. He's got three little boys. Loses his job. Loses his place to live. Has nowhere to go. Asks his mom if he can come stay with her. She says, well, okay, but you can sleep in the garage. Not even in the house. A detached garage. No heat, no plumbing, you know, just an overhead light in the garage. So get the baby. So he's living there with three little boys saying, how could this happen to me? Talk about betrayal. Now, I'm sitting in the restaurant. We were at Flappy Jack, all right? I can still picture it right this second. This is some years ago now. We're sitting there in the restaurant, and he's telling me a story. I've completely lost my appetite. Tears are now, again, welling up in my eyes. And I'm like, I was choking, you know, hearing this. And I'm like, I don't even know what pain is. I think I've been hurt. I'm a sissy. I'm like, I will never complain again. I don't even know what pain is. I was just absolutely, I had known about it many years ago, but I didn't know about it. And I'm just like, I'm hurting for him. But now there's the rest of the story. Okay, so then you heard him tell it. He made three promises. I'll never, ever trust women again. I'll never get married again. I'll never, ever be in ministry again. Forget church. And I will never trust pastors. Forget those guys. And of course, he got married again. See, there's the rest of the story. But he did these. So I thought, what'd he do? Prayer, word, obedience, fellowship, service. That is what he did. Everybody I know has overcome this. It's always all five. Not four or five, not three or five. It's all five. That's what he did. He got married again. And he's still in ministry again right now. It's been 30-something years later. His wife repented, apologized, asked for forgiveness. They got, you know, admitting it back together because she was already remarried. But they all get along. It's an amazing thing, right? And his story is so astounding. Pastors can't get him. They're lining up to have him come in the church to tell the story. Why? Everybody's been hurt. And here's answers. Now he's written books about it. Now he's been invited around the world. See, again, maybe right now you're in the beating stage. But there's a resurrection. There's an ascension. There's a rest of the story if you'll do these things.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m. And now, you will be led in a simple prayer.
Let's commit these things to Him. Maybe somebody right now, man, you're at the whipping post right now. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in Him. Be committed to prayer and His word and obedience and fellowship and service. Father, I pray right now. There's something sitting here. There are some here right now. Man, they're in the midst of this heart-wrenching betrayal. Love is greater. Love is greater than betrayal. Love is greater. And that led to the Lord's arrest, and it led to His beating, and it led to His crucifixion, but that wasn't the end of the story. That led to His resurrection and His ascension, our redemption, and on, new creation. And thank you, Lord. If we'll trust you, our life, exact same thing. And so, we trust you. Right now, we give all of this to you. We choose to focus on your love. We choose to release. Forgiveness is about release. It's not saying it was okay. It's not saying it didn't hurt. It did hurt and it's not okay. But we choose to release. Forgiveness is about letting go. We choose to let it go. No longer will we continually over and over and over focus on this betrayal and this pain and How could this happen? And why did they do this? And all that. That's just getting us no place, Lord. That's looking backward in the wrong direction. Instead, we focus on your love and your power and your goodness. We just sang about it. Your love and your forgiveness. Love is greater than all. And now we make some commitments. We commit ourselves to prayer. We commit ourselves to the Word. We commit ourselves to obedience. We commit ourselves to fellowship. We commit ourselves to service. These things bring us through. Resurrection is imminent. It's right there. Newness is right there. It's right there. So close. We make these commitments right now. We put our total trust in you. You didn't cause it, but you can redeem it. You didn't cause it, but you can make something wonderful from it. And you're not done with any of us yet. Lord, thank you. We give it to you. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And now if we could just remain in an attitude of prayer for a moment. Of all I've said this morning, friends, this is the most important thing. Where's your heart before the Lord today? What's the condition of your heart before Him today? This all begins with a personal relationship. That's what God's after, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already died, already risen again from the dead. Our part is to open up our hearts and allow Him in. We do that by praying and calling upon Him. If you've never done this, it would be my honor to lead us in a simple prayer this morning. If you've never called upon the Lord Jesus to come into your life, come into your heart, if you're not sure if you have, we're going to pray in just a second. If you'd say, yes, please pray for me. I want to call upon Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do one thing in just a second here. I'm going to ask you just to do one thing, just to raise your hand. Lift it up high where I can see it. And then we're going to pray. And I'll lead us in a simple prayer right where you sit. Thank you. There's already a hand raised over here. Secondly, if you've already prayed and called upon Him, but right now your life's not right with God and you want to get things right with Him and you want to pray and just commit your heart in a brand new, fresh way, I'm going to invite you to lift your hand. And at the same time, thank you. See your hand. We're going to pray right now. There's already been a few hands raised. Is there anybody else? Thank you. See your hand. If that's you, put your hand up high and join these right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. All right. About four or five hands raised this morning already. Thank God. First service, we had some hands raised too. Let's all pray right now. Let's do this. Let's all pray together. Let's all lift one hand together. We're a church family. We pray as a family. And you who raise your hands, let your heart agree with these words today, and let's pray with boldness. Let's pray like this. Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, I believe in you. I believe you died for me and rose again from the dead. I give you my heart. Lord, I put my total trust in you. Your love never fails. You have poured out your love already into my heart. I choose to love. I make the decision to walk in love. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's just give God a shout of praise and just applause today. Lord, thank you for what you are doing in family life. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So exciting. All right, let me say one thing. First of all, thank you. Thank you for coming today. We're going to continue it right here next Sunday. Now, I didn't even get to my second page. I got notes on love is greater than rejection. Rejection, whereas betrayal is about trust, rejection is about knowing who I am, security, not being derailed by somebody else's opinion of me. Follow me? But this will be taught in life groups this week. So if you're not yet in a life group, make sure you sign up today. Find one that works for you. There's a sheet out there. I think there's four sheets out there. We have four groups going right now, and this will be covered in the life groups this week. So you want to be a part of that. All right. Thanks for coming. Come back next week. Maybe somebody you know can really use some of this and really help them, invite them. Welcome Pastor Kevin as he comes. God bless you all. Thanks for coming. Amen.